You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show. I'm Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee is alongside me to reflect on a second successive win for Justin Rose, this one coming in the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open.
Today was a dream come true, really. First professional win for me in Scotland, and any win that comes along is always very special. And if you're lucky enough to be in a backdrop like this, play Royal Aberdeen, be it in the Scottish Open, all that means a lot to me.
Rose won by two strokes ahead of Christopher Broberg, who's becoming a familiar name of late on the top 20 leaderboards.
Really well for a couple of weeks now, and it's going to be very, very happy to play in the Open. So first major, so very happy.
More from those gentlemen to come, and once we've swept up all the other news from Royal Aberdeen, our focus will turn to Hoylake and the 143rd Open Championship, where Phil Mickelson is the defending champion.
Walking up the 18th hole, though, at Muirfield, knowing that I had the tournament in the grasp was really the greatest feeling, to be able to take advantage of that moment and not have to grind it out, but really enjoy the walk. I'll always remember that, and it's a very emotional time for me.
And to give us an idea of what it's like to defend an Open title, we'll be speaking exclusively to former champion Paul Laurie. Very glad to be back with you again, Robert. How are you?
Very good, Dan. Yourself?
Not too bad. Looking forward to the Open Championship, of course. But before we do that, we've got to look back at what happened in Aberdeen at the weekend. Justin Rose, the Scottish Open champion. He is very much a form horse heading into the next major, isn't he?
His form's been tremendous, really. Having won on the other side of the water, a few weeks ago at Congressional, and now he wins the Scottish Open. He's building momentum, I do believe, for the Open Championship. So Rose can be very pleased with the way he's performing. After a sort of uncertain start with injury and coming back from injury, he's now up to the world number three spot, and he really was the man. Pressed all the way by Christopher Broberg, who's now showing us what he can do on the European Tour. He was magnificent on the Challenge Tour, and he won, I think, four times in a year and got out onto the main tour. Taking him a little while to find his feet, but now it looks like he's fully fit. That's the first thing. A bit like Rose, he had an injury, and he's shown us what a good player he is. But a great win for Justin Rose.
He never gave the rest of the field a chance, did he, really? Because although he started the final round joint leader with Mark Warren, he birdied four of the first six, pulled clear, got that gap, and really it was always going to be tough for the field to catch him.
It was, you know, his game was very much a game of control, and I think he just had five bogeys the entire week. Other than that, it was all profit for him as he plotted his way around, and a beautiful Royal Aberdeen, by the way.
He said that he put the Scottish Open on his schedule. He wanted to do what Phil Mickelson did last year. And over the years, since we've moved away from a Parkland course like Loch Lomond and now playing at a Lynx course, it's attracting a different type of field, a quality field. This is a key event on the European Tour, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's a key event in a key slot. The week before the Open's always going to be a very interesting position to have a tournament, and it made sense on so many fronts. I mean, I used to love Loch Lomond. I thought it was a fantastic
venue. It's a terrific golf course.
Great golf course, really, really good, and produced a lot of really good winners. But I do think there is an attraction for players who are going to compete in an Open Championship to come and play some links golf before it. I do think there is a real benefit to doing that. And when we went to Castle Stewart up in Inverness, although it wasn't a classic links, it's a modern golf course, it was certainly built in a links style on the Murray Firth, and Phil went there for a reason. So I think Phil has put the template in there for a lot of other Americans to come over and play the Scottish Open beforehand.
So the second win in a row for Rose, as we mentioned, who feels his preparations couldn't be going any better ahead of the Open Championship.
Today was a dream come true, really. First professional win for me in Scotland. At the start of the week, I was very much had my mind on the Open, but as the week went on, I just really enjoyed playing this golf course. I put it on my schedule largely due to what Phil did it last year. I looked at it, and my Open record hasn't been fantastic, and I thought that I would try and change my preparation. And winning is somewhat of a habit, and the more you can do it, the easier it becomes when you're in contention. So I think for me to go back-to-back now, I've never done that before. I've certainly never won three in a row, so we'll just see how next week plays out. But my preparation couldn't have been any better.
A seventh European Tour international schedule victory in his 258th European Tour event for Justin Rose. Scotland is now the eighth different country overall he's won a professional event in, and he becomes the fourth Englishman to secure success on the tour this campaign, along with Ross Fisher, Lee Westwood and Daniel Brooks. Well, let's hear from the runner-up, Christopher Broberg, who finished two shots behind Rose with a score of 14 under, which earns him a spot in the Open.
I'm just happy to be runner-up to Justin Rose and played really well this week. I didn't putt so well today, but a few drops in the end, so really good. But I played really well for a couple of weeks now, and it's going to be very, very happy to play in the Open. So first major, so very happy.
deserves his place, doesn't he, at Hoylake, Robert?
He does. As I said earlier on the show, he came on with quite a bit of fanfare onto the European Tour after his exploits on the Challenge Tour. Hasn't really happened until now, but, you know, he's got confidence. And he finished in style yesterday. He hit a fantastic shot into
17.
The 17th, the par 3, nearly holed out, and then gave himself a birdie opportunity at last. He really couldn't have asked much more of himself coming down the stretch. And he goes to Hoylake, you know, with his tail up.
Two Scotsmen in particular gave the good crowds at Royal Aberdeen something to cheer about. Mark Warren finished third, while Stephen Gallagher shot a joint course record 63 on Sunday for a share of fourth place. Let's hear from both men now, beginning with Mark.
Front nine today, ball striking was, you know, up there with what it's been all week. Unfortunately, the putter went cold on me and I just wasn't quite seeing the lines, to be honest. I was hitting good putts but couldn't quite read them. Justin was the opposite. He was putting, seemed to be from outside me most of the time and holding them, and you know, once he's out in front, it was tough to catch. But a lot of confidence, a lot of good memories to take into Hoylake in the Open Championship next week.
Yeah, it was a good finish. Delighted the way I've hung in all week. Playing as good as I've played all year, really. I've drove it great. Distance control's been good. I've just not really got the scoring clubs on top form, but it was great today. So hopefully good to carry on to next week.
Word on Mark Warren, first of all. He's come close to winning this event before, just a couple of years ago, hasn't he? Seems to enjoy playing there, but just fell short this time.
I think
he
lost out to Jeeve Milkerson then. Yeah, and, you know, playing in the last group with Justin Rose. Justin was the one that got off to the rocket start. Mark Warren trying to hang in there. Still a good finish. It's a good tournament. And you never know. He is a really good ball hitter.
And a 63 was special from Gallagher on Sunday.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, that's tied the course record. He's looking for confidence. And he needs some big, big performances now if he's going to get himself into that top four position in the Ryder Cup rankings if he wants to make the team. He's quite a bit of coin behind now. So he has got to put the foot on the pedal.
Alongside Gallagher in fourth were Tyrrell Hatton of England, Ireland's Shane Lowry and Matteo Manassero. We can hear from them now. First up, the Italian.
To begin with, making no bogeys, it's always a great thing. And then I just played solid. I had quite a lot of opportunities. I loved this golf course and being able to play in a good way with a good game, it was just a great week.
I mean, it's probably the worst 5-under I've ever shot in my life. You know, I gave myself a lot of chances, didn't hole much apart from one eagle putt. It would have been nice for me to make a few more birdies. I gave myself a lot of chances, but it's one of the best links courses I've played, and it's great preparation for next week. You know, it's a decent finish, some good world ranking points, some good rest of the boy points, so I'm happy enough.
Over the moon, I've qualified for the Open, which was obviously a goal at the start of the week, so can't wait for that. Obviously today was quite a bit of pressure, but I felt like I did quite well and can't really complain with where I finished this week, really.
Tyrrell Hatton there, qualifying for the Open. That's massive for him, isn't it?
It's massive for everyone to play in the Open Championship. And, you know, you heard Christopher Broberg say it's my first major. So, you know, major championships for our players on the European Tour generally start with the Open Championship. That's their first taste. And then if they keep progressing, they'll get to play the American ones. Well done, Tyrrell Hatton. I thought he was very hard on himself yesterday. Seemed to be getting a little bit uptight. But I think that comes with A, ambition, B, being up there, and C, perhaps a little lack of experience in that position, you know, knowing when to kind of take your foot off the pedal a little bit sometimes, you get more out of your round.
And just speaking of players who qualify for the Open, we should mention Scott Jamieson as well, because he managed to finish eighth in Scotland, which gives him a berth at Hoylake.
Just fantastic. Anytime you have a good tournament the week before and you qualify for the Open, it's two things. It gets you in there and you go there knowing you're playing well.
Momentum.
So it's a win-win.
Where does momentum stand with Rory McIlroy at the moment? Course record, or a then course record on Thursday in Aberdeen, 64, but that was followed by a 78 on the Friday. We had that huge drive as well on the 13th of over 400 yards. What sort of a week did Rory have for you?
That week sort of typified his year, really. He's been very much up and down. He's had some fantastic weekends to post quite a few top tens, but not had the run of four events enough times. Yes, he won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, but for him, looking for a bit more consistency. He's had a lot of bad Fridays for some reason. I don't know why that is, but he needs to sort it out for next week.
Other big names who played and unfortunately missed the cut, which ones would have been disappointed with their performances?
Well, I'm going to give you a list of players that missed the cut that you would have had down as a list of potential winners at the start of the week. Let's go with Westwood, Nicholas Kolsarts, Louis Oosthuizen, Ian Poulter, Francesco Molinari, Victor Dubuisson, Jamie Donaldson, Peter Hansen. You know, a lot of top players missed the cut, so it's not the best place to be missing the cut in the Scottish Open on a links course when the next event is the Open Championship. You really want to go to Scotland and play well.
Tips from last week. Ewan Murray went for Joost Louten, tied 51st.
I must have done him.
Robert Lee went for Ryan Palmer, tied 51st.
Does that mean
we
both tied first, didn't we, in our tipping?
In that sense, yes,
you did. Yes, thank you.
The top 10, Robert, how did they stack up in Scotland?
So, Justin Rose, bang, he was your champion. He finished first. Christopher Broberg was second. Mark Warren third. And then tied fourth, Stephen Gallagher, Matteo Manassero, Shane Lowry and Tyrrell Hatton. Tied eighth, Scott Jameson, Ricky Fowler. Now, Ricky Fowler's a sleeper for the Open Championship. Mark my words, we'll talk about that in a minute. Robert Carlson, another top 10. Big Phil, Danny Willett, Pablo Larrazábal, just outside the top 10. So all those players with form.
There must have been plenty of movement when it comes to the Race to Dubai standings after the week in Scotland.
Now, would you like to go top down or bottom
call,
up?
It's your call, Mr. Lee.
I think, looking at you, I think you're a bottom up man. So I'm going to go Tong Chai Jaidi, Louis Oosthuizen in ninth, Victor Dubuisson eight, Justin Rose seven, Stephen Gallagher six, Henrik Stenson five, Rory McIlroy four, Jamie Donaldson three, Martin Kaymer two, and Thomas Bjorn still numero uno.
So that was the Race to Dubai standings. What about the world rankings, Rob?
Well, there has been a little bit of movement. Adam Scott is still the world number one, and when he wins at Hoylake, he will be even further ahead of Henrik Stenson. Justin Rose up to third, and then Bubba's in fourth, Matt Kuchar five, Jason Day six, Tiger seven, Rory eight, Sergio nine, Jordan 10th. You just need first names when you get to top 10 players. You know who they are.
Ryder Cup standings. How do we look?
The first four names on the team sheet come from the European points list. So, Victor Dubuisson, Jamie Donaldson, Henrik Stenson and Thomas Bjorn are 1-4 on the team for Europe against the Americans in September. And then the next five come from the world rankings. Then you go to Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Martin Kaymer and Luke Donald. They are your automatic nine places, plus three picks for Captain McGinley.
Aside from the action, the other news from the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open is that next year it'll be held at Gullen Golf Club, and in 2016 it will return to Castle Stewart, the venue for last year's event. And in other news, we have got to send out a huge congratulations to Colin Montgomery, who's won another senior major. Rob?
You know, he gets to the age of 50, he's never won a major. Now, in his first season on the Champions Tour, he has won two senior majors. He won the Senior PGA Championship, and now he's won at a great golf course, actually, Oaktree National in Oklahoma, beating Gene Sowers in a playoff. It was a three-hole playoff. Very tough conditions, 100 degrees every day. It was extremely hot and oppressive. But Colin came through and has won his second major championship as a senior. So, you know, really well done to him. You could see in his face how thrilled he was to win a USGA event for the first time in his career.
Yeah, hats off to Monty. Thoroughly deserved. And so the 143rd Open Championship is nearly upon us. The venue this year is Royal Liverpool Golf Club in Hoylake, scene of Tiger Woods' last Open Championship success in 2006. Rob, what do you remember of that victory?
Well, I remember his discipline, his absolute insistence that whatever club he took from the tee, he wouldn't reach the fairway bunkers. It meant he was hitting long shots into the par fours. He was willing to accept that rather than find a fairway bunker and have a splash out sideways. And I remember the course being burnt to a cinder. It was a kind of ash blonde colour. It really was rock hard. The ball was rolling miles. So those are the two things. Plus, you know, Woods crying on the 18th green when he won with Steve Williams. Just lost his dad. Quite a week it was in Hoylake, and I'm pleased we're going back there.
When you get extreme conditions like that, it always seems to me that if you can get in front, it's going to be so, so difficult for players to come from off the pace, because it's about not making mistakes, isn't it? And if people try and push it too much, they get themselves in a whole manner of trouble.
Well, that's why Woods has never won from behind. He's always won his majors from the front, because
he's a defensive golfer when he gets in.
He is a defensive golfer, no question about it. You would have thought, of all the majors he's played in, somewhere along the line, when he's in the pack, one or two shots off the lead with a round to go, somewhere he's going to convert. Never did it once. It's amazing. But you put him in front, there's only one guy that's beaten him. That was Wai Yang at Hazeltine. And that was a summer of discontent for Tiger, if you like. So there were things occupying his mind. Otherwise, he's been the most incredible front runner ever in major championship history.
Woods, of course, is not the defending champion. Phil Mickelson is, who admits it took over a decade to perfect a technique which he feels is key to winning on a links course.
The turnaround came in December of 2003, just before the 04 season, and it was when I started working with Dave Pels on hitting wedge shots without spin. Now, after learning how to take more clubs, swing easier, and just let it feel like you're hitting little half shots, I'm not fighting it because I'm not having to make full, hard, aggressive swings. It's much easier if you're hitting to a 100-yard pin to hit a little 5-iron at that pin than it is a full wedge. And I find that that was really the turning point that I look back to.
It's incredible, isn't it, to hear from Phil Mickelson. It takes him so long. What a fantastic career he's had. And only now, really, is he beginning to get what links golf is all about.
I think Phil, I mean, I love watching Phil. He's such an inventive golfer. And he has to be, because the way he plays, his tee game isn't always the best. But that did make me chuckle. It's easier to hit a 5-iron 100 yards than a full wedge. I think he's talking about, you know, very windy conditions, obviously. But still, that's quite extreme.
Well, let's find out what it's like to be a defending champion, shall we? And what we can expect at Hoy Lake. 1999 Open champion Paul Laurie has gladly joined us on the Race to Dubai show. Thanks for popping on the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And always nice to speak to two gentlemen of your calibre.
A word firstly on how you fared in your hometown Aberdeen last week. Finished tied for 27th, Paul, but a 66 on Sunday.
Disappointing week overall, really. But yesterday was good. Nice to finish off on that note. We had a little bit of rain and a little breeze in the morning. And then, of course, it got nice for these boys in the afternoon, and 500 didn't seem that good, but in the morning it was a good score.
You are in an enviable position for many players in the European Tour because you're a past winner of an Open Championship. You know you're going to play every single summer. Do you ever take that for granted?
Well, it's nice to be 209th in the world rankings and 110th in the Race to Dubai and know that you're picking up in the biggest event of the world.
But hey, who's counting?
Yeah, not me.
So what about your form then? I know you had a 66, but generally?
Generally, I've been struggling a wee bit the last few weeks. I missed the last two cuts before last week by a shot. So you're never far away if you're missing by a shot, but it's just not been that right. It was nice to finish off yesterday shooting 5-under, hit the ball nicely all week and hold a few putts. So I think we're hopefully going to get better again.
I don't want to remind you about another missed cut, but I have to. The opening 2006 when Hoylake last staged the event. What do you remember about that particular year?
I remember obviously the course being very hard and running. The ball just went forever. The course is obviously very, very good, which I remember. So I'm looking forward to getting down tomorrow morning and playing a few holes in the afternoon.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, actually. How early do you get to an Open Championship?
I mean, a lot of people tend to kind of treat them differently and play more rounds, but I kind of stick to what I kind of do on a regular tour event. I get there and I either play the Pro-Am as my practice round, or for the Open, I play a few holes on the Tuesday afternoon and then I play the course on Wednesday morning all the way around, which I find kind of works best for me. I have Monday at home and I'm heading down there tomorrow morning.
So do you think a good way for players who want to win a major championship like you have done is to kind of treat it like a regular tour event?
Well, I think you have to. I think because the Open is bigger and everyone wants to win a major, you know that anyway. So over-preparing and tiring yourself out before it starts doesn't work for me. I'm not saying it's not good for everyone, but I kind of like to treat it almost like a regular event if I can. I play early Wednesday morning and I go back to my room and I try and relax and chill out. Hitting balls on a Wednesday afternoon is something that I've never done. There's no point in wasting energy when you need it all for Thursday to Sunday.
It is different though, Paul, isn't it? Because people want more of your time as a former Open champion ahead of the action, and I guess after the round's been completed as well.
Well, yeah, whether you play well or whether you play badly, you know, the Open, because you're a past winner, people want to sort of speak to you and get you to do things in the afternoon. But again, you've got to learn to say no a little bit. You've got to learn that you've got to conserve your energy. I'm 45, not 25, so doing things that I used to do when I was younger just doesn't happen.
How's the body? How fit are you?
I'm 100%, to be fair. Last week was the first week where I felt physically really, really good out there and was able to hit shots that I've not been hitting for the last few weeks. So my neck's fine. My usual creaks and pains as a 45-year-old are not going to go away. But on the whole, I feel pretty good.
And as for Hoylake, is it a typical links venue? Is it different to what we experience in Scotland? Is it just the same? Does it really play difficult if it's baked hard and it's windy? How is it different from the other ones on the roster?
Well, links course is a links course. The scoring is going to be really good if there's no wind, and you're going to struggle if the wind picks up and blows a little bit. Every links course is the same. You've got to stay out of the fairway bunkers, and going low when there's no wind is another thing that you must kind of capitalise on if you get a break with the weather.
Well, Paul, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show, and we wish you well at Hoylake. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Well, we've heard from Phil Mickelson. Let's hear from another American. This will be the fifth time that Ricky Fowler has played in the Open Championship, and once again, he's looking forward to it immensely.
I grew up learning the game from an older gentleman who was definitely more old school. Didn't grow up learning how to exactly swing a golf club. It was more learning how to play the game. I think that's why I appreciate links golf maybe more than a lot of guys in the younger generation from the U.S. I enjoy coming over here and playing the golf courses and using the imagination to get around and hit different shots. And you don't get a whole lot of that in the U.S. You get some of it with the older courses, but I don't feel out of place here. It's fun for me to come over here and just have some fun playing golf.
Have some fun playing golf. You won't have fun if it's like 2006 at Hoylake, I'm sure. But you do feel that there's maybe an opening in Ricky Fowler.
I know what he means by that. Just the sheer joy of being out there in the elements, whatever they are, and pitting your wits against Mother Nature. And, I mean, the courses are basically Mother Nature. That's what was there. They just chuck a few bunkers and cut a few areas of green, and that's your golf course. A lot of these golf courses were pretty much like that. I think Ricky Fowler has definitely got Open Championship quality in him. I can remember him playing some unbelievable golf in the worst weather you could imagine at Royal St George's when Darren Clarke won. And yeah, I think Fowler, it's a natural fit for him, links golf.
Well, Tiger Woods' winning score around Hoylake in 2006 was 18 under par, two ahead of Chris DeMarco. Do you think this year's winner will shoot something like that, Robert?
18 under par, it's weather dependent. And if it's fairly, you know, just a light breeze perhaps, and doesn't lash for rain, it doesn't blow a hoolie, well, yes, there'll be low scores again. Can it be as good as that for 4 days as it was back in 2006? I doubt it.
Speaking of Tiger Woods, what do we expect from Tiger?
I don't know what he expects out of...
He says he's got his speed back.
The Woods machine is in full flow now because he's back playing, he's back practicing. So we'll see. It's a proper operation what he had done, a very worrying one for a golfer. Hopefully he's back to some sort of full fitness, because I think that's the challenge for him, to stay fit and play what he wants to play in, you know, for the rest of this year. I think that would be a great year for him if he can keep playing unencumbered by what was troubling his back. And then he's got to try and get his game back, because before the op, you know, it wasn't up to Tiger's standards. So we'll see.
Obviously it's a major. Obviously it's a fantastic field. We've not even mentioned those towards what you would suggest towards the top of the betting, the likes of Justin Rose, Adam Scott. I mean, this is a terrific field once again, and a big American challenge outside of Woods, isn't there?
Well, there will be, of course. I mean, Bubba Watson's going to come across, Matt Kuchar, we know Tiger's playing, Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Jimmy Walker, Jason Duffner, Keegan Bradley, Ricky Fowler. There's a lot of quality Americans taking part this week.
Well, the American challenge is always strong, but the European challenge, we talked about Justin Rose, of course, because he's won the Scottish Open, but Graham McDowell coming in off the back of a win in France, and Rory McIlroy, we've discussed his game. I'm never quite sure about Rory when it comes to the Open. He said before that he doesn't generally like playing when the wind gets up, but he's surely going to get some this week. McIlroy, first of all, can he win this week?
He can do, because he's been very close to winning more than the one event he's won, which was the BMW PGA Championship. He just needs to get that consistency through all 4 days. The brilliant rounds are there. There's no doubt about that. He can post a low one somewhere in the week. But, you know, like last week, that was typical. 64 on the first day.
78.
And then gave them all back on the second day. Typical McIlroy, and then a very good weekend. If the dud round, the one of the four that isn't quite as good as the rest, is, let's say, around par, he's got a great chance.
What about Graham McDowell? Coming in off the back of that French win, he always seems to go under the radar when it comes to the Open Championship. I mean, he's banging form again.
He's banging form. He's playing a type of golf that he's very used to after, you know, growing up on the links courses of Northern Ireland. The way he plays, like, he's a trapper. That's the way he plays. That's a great way to play links golf, seeing the ball running in as opposed to having to send it high into the atmosphere and let it fly in. So there are a lot of things for Graham McDowell that make him a natural for this type of golf. When he won at Pebble Beach, it was linksy type golf. You know, seeing the ball coming in at a slightly lower trage and running on. I've got to think that Graham McDowell at some point, like Ricky Fowler, is going to win an Open Championship.
Messrs. McDowell and McIlroy have won majors. Sergio Garcia hasn't. Could it be his week?
Could be Sergio's week. You know, I can remember at Hoylake, I think he was the one in the banana outfit playing with Woods in the last two ball. I'm sure it was Sergio, in with a chance of winning. And I think he three-putted the first two greens, and that was that. Ta-ta. So, you know, Sergio's been fantastic for many years, but the longer the drought goes on, the less you kind of inclined to think, you know, what is the issue with Sergio? Why has this kid not won three or four majors? Because he's that good. There's some sort of mental block with him. He's got to find out what it is. What is the key that's going to release that thing that stops him winning a major?
And lastly, on the European contingent, Henrik Stenson blew everyone away last year, and he's starting to find his form again this campaign. A lot of people will be looking to the Swede.
They will. He's getting to the sort of middle of the summer where it all kind of caught fire last year when he was magnificent and then ended up wiping the ball with everyone. I've got to think Henrik Stenson's right up there. If you had to pick 10 players that you thought had a big chance of winning, he's right in there in the 10 players. He's one of those. It's, as it always is every year, very difficult to pick a winner.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Rob, I know you're looking at me with those doe eyes full of love, thinking, can he possibly, the man I'm looking at, pick the winner this week?
Can you? Who are you going for?
I'm going to go for, I'll give you two, because it's a major. I'll give you two, okay. And an outsider. I'm going to go for Adam Scott.
Yeah.
To win at Hoylake,
yeah.
And I'm going to go for Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
as my one to watch. I think there's a performance in there.
I like Justin Rose to win again. Three on the spin, never done it before, but I think he's due another major success. And I will throw in Zach Johnson as my best of the Americans.
Yeah, just best of the Americans or one with an outside chance of winning?
With an outside chance of winning. He always plays the John Deere the week before. He was second on Sunday.
Do you know
course.
He's played that tournament 13 times in a row, the John Deere?
Mm. Doesn't seem to be a problem for his preparation for the Open because he's played well last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I think as we often hear from players, they've all got different ways of preparing, and whatever floats your boat, whatever works for you is the right one for you.
So for Robert Lee, it is Adam Scott and Ricky Fowler.
It is.
For my good self, it is Justin Rose and Zach Johnson. Well, that does wrap it up for now. Join us next week for a comprehensive review of the 143rd Open Championship and a look ahead to the M2M Russian Open in Moscow. Until then, have a great Open week, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.